Of course, we don't have to particularly talk about the energy crisis. We can talk about other subjects on the international or local scene, for that matter. We have in the past talked about things that are happening here in Terre Haute, including the renovation of downtown Terre Haute. Seems, as we mentioned on our last talk show, that many of the major cities are, if you will, rotting from the center. It used to be that the major cities in the middle were the business and the heartbeat of the city. But suburbia came across, everybody began moving to suburbia, and as a result, the inner city started rotting because everybody was moving from there into suburbia. The merchants began setting up branch stores in modern malls such as we have here in Terre Haute, such as Honey Creek Square, which I imagine is one of the biggest competitors of downtown Terre Haute. Do you think it's fair for Terre Haute to spend your money to benefit downtown Terre Haute, to build it up, to make it more accessible? Or do you think possibly that your money is being wasted, that really it benefits you in no way? What's your opinion on it? We would like it at 533-1661. We also mentioned before about the possible plans for slant parking down in Terre Haute, and we've talked on a previous talk show about the possibility of maybe putting parkades in Terre Haute. What these are very, very large buildings that can accommodate many, many times more cars than can just a single parking lot. In essence, it's just a parking lot stacked upon a parking lot upon a parking lot, up to as many as 20 or 30 stories. They do have such big ones, for example, in Cleveland that I am familiar with, and it takes you about a good 10 minutes to drive to the top of them. Do you think this might be a possible solution for downtown Terre Haute's parking problem, which is rather bad? Or do you have any other ideas that you'd like to share with us? We would like your opinions and comments at 533-1661, 533-1661. The consensus, changing the subject a little bit, the consensus of the people that have called in tonight have been in favor of the impeachment of President Nixon. What do you think about this? Do you think that President Nixon should be impeached, or do you think that the man is doing all that he can and that he was true and he was honest when he said that he was declaring executive privilege in not releasing the Watergate tapes? Do you believe Rosemary Wood, the president's personal secretary, did accidentally erase the tapes, or do you think this might be some higher plot to suppress some of the Watergate evidence? What's your opinion? We'd like to hear it at 533-1661. We'll give you about five more minutes to call in if you'd like to. Again, this is your program. This program is for you. It is for people to call in, express their ideas, their opinions on just about any issue. We've allowed discussion of quite diverse issues here in our Teletalk program. And if you think that it is not necessary to call in, if you have nothing you'd like to voice, we'll just go back to the country music, because this is your program. And if you don't feel like you'd want to say anything on it today, we'll, of course, go back to the country music. However, we would like to talk to you. When you do call in, I'll ask your permission to put you on the air. This is a legal thing. And also, when you do call in, we ask that you turn your radio down, because if you don't turn your radio down, you're going to have problems talking to us. So again, 533-1661. I watched a program on The Late Show the other night, and we'll talk about that maybe in a little bit. WPFR, may I put you on the air? Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. No, right. This is Teletalk. Do you have your radio on?
In other words, I can speak on whatever I want to speak
right
on.
Is your radio on?
No.
Oh, it isn't. Okay, maybe that was here in the studio. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I've been wondering about all this here oil crisis. The United States is worried about the oil crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a remedy. If we would treat the Arab countries as good as we do Israel, we would not have lost their oil to us.
Oh, that's for sure.
Now, every country has a feeling and a story of how they want their neighbors to act and how they want to feel towards each other. Now, we have to realize that the Arabs are human beings, too, with feelings of their own. While we are pro-Israel, let us be pro-Arab, too, and they will know and realize we are a country for all people, not just a few selected people and few selected countries.
Now, somebody arguing against you would maintain that the Soviet Union is supporting the Arab countries, and therefore us, as traditional enemies, if you will, of the Soviet Union, are obligated to support Israel. And
well,
also,
that's true. I don't say we shouldn't support Israel. I don't mean that.
Okay.
But I mean we should support the Arabs and realize that they have feelings, too. They have their own story to tell, see?
Mm-hmm.
And as you well know, that even though Russia is helping out the Arabian countries and we're helping out Israel, at the same time, we are fighting like the devil to get good with Russia and have Russia good with us. So that holds up my theory.
Yeah, I do see your point. Aren't we doing this, in essence, in trying to work out a peace settlement in the Mideast?
Well, I think we're doing about all they can do, maybe, for the time being, but it just thought to remember that all enemies don't stay enemies. In other words, you can take Japan. They were our worst enemy at one time. Now they're
Germany.
One of our best friends.
Yeah, right.
So just be humanize things a little bit, and I think it'll all come out.
Well, you know, Japan has switched their foreign policy in favor of the Arab countries. Japan has switched their foreign policy in favor of the Arab countries because the Japanese economy would collapse without Arab oil.
It's a necessity for some country that doesn't have enough oil and enough products of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were forced to do that, and I don't think they made a bad move.
Oh, what do you think the United States should do a similar thing?
Well, I wouldn't want them to give up Israel, but I want them to be a little kinder to the Arabian countries, too.
You think we're too mean to the Arabs?
No, I wouldn't say mean. No, that's not the word for it.
Inconsiderate?
Maybe not considerate enough.
Do you think that this would curtail...
You see, the worst trouble with this thing is that back for years and years and years, those countries has fought. First one's in power and then the other's out and so forth and so on.
Uh-huh.
But we're living in a different generation now. And they're going to have to settle down and get along with each other. And it'll all come out.
You think so?
I think so.
I hope so.
What do you think?
I don't know.
I'd like to ask your opinion. What do you think? Do you think we should be a little more considerate with the Arabian countries?
Well, first of all, let me give an idea, okay? This is WPFR, Terre Haute, Indiana. No, I'm afraid I have to be a little pro-Israel. I don't know if we are treating the Arabs, inconsiderate, as you say, because, again, I think the Soviet Union is supplying the Arabs with all of their machinery and their war machine, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And that, as a result, we have to support Israel just...
No, we don't have to.
We almost do because Israel...
We don't have to. We wouldn't have to do that at all.
Uh-huh.
No more than we would have to fight for some other country or help them out.
Yeah, well, my major concern, I am a Christian, if you will, I guess a rather fundamentalist by most judgment,
yeah.
And it concerns me a little bit with the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, of course, according to scriptures and Christianity, the Jews are God's chosen people. Right, and
well, who is God's chosen people?
Don't
Jews. Get me into the Bible here.
Oh, okay. Well, you asked my opinion, and I'm
God's chosen people. When you stop and think about it, those same people that's over there now probably isn't God's chosen people. They've come from all over the country to make a country of their own over there, or all over the world. Yeah,
you're saying about Israel, then?
Yeah, or Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this was prophesied in the Bible. It said that Israel, which of course existed in biblical times, if you will, it was prophesied that when Israel split up, that someday from Jews from all over the world would recombine and reform Israel, which has happened. And then it says near the second coming that the world would fight Israel. The entire world would be against Israel. And you can see things pointing toward this because of the major powers that normally would side with Israel are going toward the Arabs because of the oil boycott. And, you know, things are just pointing to this, and this is my main concern. This is my opinion, okay? And possibly a lot of people listening might think that my opinion might be a little corny, but it is what I do believe.
Yeah, that's true. You have... your opinion. Other people have theirs.
That's
Everybody
right.
has the right to opinion.
That's right.
As long as it's halfway in the realm, you know. Well, anyway, I'm glad I got to talk to you, and of course, there's only one thing I can say. As long as you have something to offer people that they want, why the Arabian country seems to be in the driver's seat on that angle.
That's true. That's true. We're going to be hurting because of their oil. Of course, they don't supply that great a percentage. It's only,
well,
what?
The United States is not going to hurt that much over it. I think the United States is, they're blowing it up all out of proportion. I don't think we're going to hurt that much. For instance, like around here, they say we're not going to hurt for electricity. Well, I believe that there's other ways we have of getting oil. And with what we've got in Canada and so forth and so on, I just don't believe we're going to be pushed in that tight a corner, even if we don't get any oil from Egypt or any place down through there.
So you don't think it's really going to hurt us that much? You think the whole thing's being overblown then?
I think it's being overblown, yeah. Yeah, I don't mean that we don't have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
There is a shortage, without a doubt. But I don't think it's as bad as what it seems to be. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just like anything. If you throw a little scare into somebody, well, you just, and then somebody says something else, first thing you know, you're just a bunch of scared people.
Yeah.
And boy, if there's anything that's going to scare you, is when you can't get in your automobile and drive. You'd rather do without food, you know?
I think most people would, truly.
Yeah, that's right at that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling
okay,
in.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Okay, bye-bye, sir.
Bye.
Okay, we'll be back with a few more comments and hopefully a few more calls in 1 minute.
Did you ever wonder? Fact is, Social Security has changed our lifestyle. For more information, call any Social Security office.
WPFR, may I put you on the air? No, I don't believe so. I don't think we'll have time for it this evening. Was it on last week? Oh, it was. How about that? Okay. Well, thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, that was a gentleman who wondered if Album Time will be on tonight. Album Time, what we do is normally at around 7:30 or 8:30, we choose an album, usually one of the most recent releases, and we play the album in its entirety. And usually I do this on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And it's a very rare thing, I think, on radio to hear an album in this entirety. So we might put a little plug in for that and invite you to listen to it. And that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and sometimes Friday. Sounds like a good name for a song, doesn't it? This is WPFR-FM, Terre Haute, Indiana. We have about 25 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock. And this is our Teletalk program, excuse me, where you're invited to speak out on things which concern you at 533-1661, 533-1661. Before the last call I was mentioning, I watched a movie on the Late Show last night, and it wasn't last night, it was a couple nights ago. It was with Richard Widmark and Sidney Poitier, and it was about a racial type of thing. And it brought to my mind some of the conversations I have had with people who maintain that in applying for a job, for example, that they have been treated unfairly because of a parallel black applicant who was favored because of his race. And I've heard so much of this that I was just wondering if it was true, if anybody out there has had any experiences like this. Or do you believe that maybe the black community has to be favored a little bit? What's your opinion on such things? Do you think that the blacks are melding into society? Do you believe that minorities are melding into society as the Equal Rights Amendment has wanted it to be? What's your opinion on that? We would welcome it at 533-1661, 533-1661. I guess while we're waiting for our next call, if there is a next call, we can read you some more tips on how to conserve energy. These are kind of interesting. They're little ones, they're obvious, but maybe subtle. Maybe they're not so obvious, maybe they're a little more subtle. This is one: if you are buying or building a house, you're supposed to check for adequate insulation. 3 to 4 inches on the walls and 6 on the ceiling are adequate for almost all regions in the country. For a new home, the added cost of installing more insulations will be returned to you within a few years by saving on utility bills. In other words, spend a little money now and then save it in the long run. For clothes washing, make sure that your water heater is set no higher than 140 degrees. Wait until you have a full load to wash clothes. Use the coldest water practical. Of course, hot water is more expensive than cold water because it takes energy to heat water. Now, the following are some energy conservation tips in transportation. Number one, I guess, probably the most important is use your car only when you need to. You're asked to walk or take public transportation or ride a bike for short trips. Create and support carpools for transportation to work, school, or shopping. Check the possibility of taking a bus or train for out-of-town trips. These are some things that you can do to conserve energy if you so desire to conserve energy. Some people, it seems to be the consensus here tonight, that most people believe that we are not actually faced with an energy crisis, that the whole thing is being overblown a little bit. The first gentleman that called in this evening maintained that President Nixon had initiated the energy shortage to cover up the news media's coverage of Watergate and to kind of suppress Watergate and President Nixon's unpopularity. If he did so, in my opinion, I don't think it was too successful, because I think people will get more down on the president when he starts suppressing the consumption of energy. You might hear in the background a siren. I guess somebody has had a fire or an accident in the residence of the WPFR studio. If you have any questions about the operation or running of WPFR, we'd be happy to answer them and talk to you about them at 533-1661, 533-1661. It's interesting, the radio station itself is on the wing of a house, and the owner, Mr. Ford, who also owns WKZI in Casey, Illinois, which I imagine a lot of you country music fans close to the Illinois border are familiar with, because they have more radio listeners in for WKZI than they do for the major radio station here in town. We could talk about radio if you'd like, the operation of WPFR, WKZI. If you'd like to ask me anything, we would welcome it at 533-1661, 533-1661. We had a call before, a couple talk shows ago, about the call letters of stations. We mentioned, if you notice, that every radio station, every television station, every CB station, every ham station in the United States has call letters that begin either with the letters W or with the letters K. The reason for this is because a long time ago, in some long forgotten room in Geneva, Switzerland, they held a conference of all the major nations in the world, and they passed around the hat, and each nation drew a letter, or two letters, rather. The United States drew the letters K and the letters W. The gentleman I was talking to when we were talking about this said, oh yeah, all the stations west of the Mississippi start with K and all of them east start with W. And I said I wasn't certain. And this isn't the case, because I know there are stations that start with K over on the east coast. But as a result of this meeting in Switzerland, every radio station, every television station, every CB, every ham, every electromagnetic communication station in the United States has call letters that begin with the letters W or with the letters K. The three or the two or three letters that follow it sometimes stand for something, sometimes they don't. I don't believe the ham call letters stand for anything. WPFR stands for Paul Ford Radio. Some of the stations in town that I'm familiar with, WBOW, BOW stands for Banks of the Wabash. WTHI radio and television stand for Terre Haute, Indiana. WAAC, this is interesting. According to Mr. Ford, WAAC got those letters because they wanted to be listed first in the phone book under radio stations and television stations. And there was a station already in the United States with the call letters WAAA. And there was also a station in the United States with call letters WAAB. So they filed for the call letters WAAC, and that's how they got their call letters. I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought I might pass it along to you. I'm not sure of any of the other call letters. WTWO, I think it's obvious what the television station stands for, because they are Channel 2. We can talk about radio. We can talk about national things, international things, and we'll give you about 3 more minutes to give us a call here at WPFR and voice your opinions on what you'd like to talk about. 533-1661 is the number, 533-1661. We had a call one time about a gentleman who maintained he saw a flying saucer, and he described it to us. And it was rather interesting. He maintained he saw this thing, that it did strange things, and he saw extraterrestrial discs in the sky, if you will. And a lot of people don't believe in it, and a lot of them do. And I think what we're going to do is take this call. WPFR, may I put you on the air?
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to say I was enjoying your program again tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. You called in last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I've listened 3 weeks in a row now.
Oh.
And I look forward to hearing it every week.
Oh, you do.
And every week it seems like there's some new things that comes up.
Well, yeah, that's the purpose of it.
You don't know what's going to happen each week.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. See, I try to let the thing take a course of its own. In other words, have people call up and talk, and then have them suggest topics that might interest somebody else, and then have them call up. However, the response hasn't been so good in the last 3 or 4 weeks, so I've kind of had to sit here and talk to myself a lot.
I enjoyed your discussion just a while ago about the call letters. I never realized that's what a lot of them stood for.
Yeah, it is rather interesting.
I didn't understand how they got them and things, but it was kind of interesting to hear about that.
And it's a funny thing, because most people have interesting stories, little tidbits, little miscellaneous things that may not be significant, but they're interesting. And it'd be so nice if they could call up and maybe share with us a story like this.
Have you been watching the weather lately to see how it's things has been affecting it?
Well, I told you, Ted Ford, who lives here at WPFR, said he heard on the news that scientists have done research about the satellites, and they have come to the conclusion that, all that man has done here on Earth, including all of this air pollution, and this would, of course, include the Skylab rocket going up, has not affected the weather appreciably. In other words, it's been very insignificant. And Mrs. Ford, we mentioned this before also, said that sometimes they have to wait for good weather down in Cape Canaveral before they blast off, right? And it seems that bad weather usually follows good. I'm not familiar that much with the weather, but it seems reasonable. And as a result, when they get good weather down there, we're having bad weather up here because it's kind of following it down.
Yeah, it goes in a big circle. You can check the weather. I like to watch the wind. Basically, the wind's blowing out of the south for a couple of days. Then when it does change, it goes over to the northwest, and then it comes back around to the north, and then it's back over to the east, and then it's back around to the south again. It just makes a big circle, and whatever the weather is down south for a few days, then it picks it up and just brings it right up around.
You mean is this just in Terre Haute? Is this from your own observation?
Yes, I just, just looking at the weather maps and the paper and things, you can just kind of go bit, and like if it's raining down south, well, maybe in tomorrow or next day, it'll be up here. It'll pick it up and bring it around. And if it's snowing or something up in the northwest, well, you just watch it in a couple of days, it brings it right on around.
Well, that's interesting.
Maybe
I never noticed.
Maybe not in the capacity that it's doing it down there, because it kind of fizzles out, before it gets here, but we usually get the tail end of it anyhow.
In other words, the weather from the south kind of comes up here and affects us then.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Well, according to that, then, it seems that after the blast-off that we would get good weather instead of this inclement weather after the blast-off from Cape Canaveral.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just never know. It's just something funny.
Yeah, it's bizarre. That's interesting, though, about the wind going around in a circle.
About the energy crisis now.
Yeah.
One good thing about this is it's going to take a lot of these great big automobiles off the road.
Yeah, that'll be good. I don't think anybody will miss that too much.
I had a big Pontiac, and we just traded here a couple weeks ago, or about a month or so ago now, and we got us a small car, small American Motors car, Hornet. It's kind of crowded for the family, but no more driving what we do. We're not in it that long of a time to get all cramped up. Just like last week, I only used 9 gallons of gas. So.
And how much would have you used in the larger car?
Oh, I'm adding I'd use 15, 16 anyhow.
So you did conserve quite a bit.
This is only a 6.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of difference. It's easier to park, easier to handle, get around with.
But it's a little crowded, you say, huh?
Yeah, basically with 5 or 6 of us. But we make it all right. We get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Something is interesting. My parents recently bought a trailer, and I have an aunt and uncle that also have a trailer, one of these mobile campers, I guess they call them. And I guess pretty soon that you'll be able to pick up campers at a dime a dozen.
Oh, yeah, because people will have no gas. They can't go nowhere with it.
Right. Uh-huh. This is really going to affect the economy, I think, in strange ways.
Well, and even next summer, see, most of these campsites, you have to hook up to the water, you have to hook up to the electricity.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
these will be higher because, you know, there'll be less of it.
Right.
And, or at least they say there won't be no shortage of electricity, but they never know.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the commodities that right here in Wabash Valley we're kind of blessed with is electricity.
Yeah, that's right. I understand.
We have power plants all around us and coal, most of them uses coal. You know, they already have their contracts bought for years ahead,
mm-hmm.
and so they're going to have plenty of coal. So it seems like we're kind of blessed with that. We may not have to worry about turning our lights out anyhow.
Well, yeah, that'd be good. It really would. Yeah. I notice also there's a lot of states that are kind of withdrawing inside each other, mm-hmm. withdrawing inside themselves. For example, Texas says that they're going to meet their oil needs. I